Our gospel lesson is from the book of Luke, chapter 13, beginning with verse 31. At that time, some Pharisees said to Jesus, "Get away from here if you want to live. Herod Antipas wants to kill you." Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox that I will keep on casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and the third day I will accomplish my purpose. Yes, today, tomorrow, and the next day I must proceed on my way, for it wouldn't do for a prophet of God to be killed except in Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now, look, your house is abandoned, and you will never see me again until you say, 'Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen?
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, this morning I have three questions for you. Three, I think, pretty easy questions. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more response than we did on our prayer time. The first question is this. What are the three most important words that all people all over the world need to hear? The three words.
I love you.
See, now, wasn't that easy? Wasn't that easy? Now, what are the two most important words that about half of the United States population must know and use on a regular basis?
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear. Yes, ma'am. Yes, darling. Yes, sweetie. Or some variation. Very good. Now, I told you that wasn't too hard, was it? Yeah. Now, let's get a little bit more personal. All right. How many of you consider yourself henpicked? Raise your hand. How many of you are henpicked? Yeah. Fess it up now. Raise your hand if you believe you are henpicked, or at least a little bit henpicked. Yeah, you're in church. Remember that now, folks. Folks, I want to tell you, I am henpicked. I am, and I am proud of it because it is good. Oh, it is good to be henpicked. You know why? Because the Bible tells me so, and I read it this morning. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? Jesus likened himself to a hen, and he has picked us over death. We are his chicks, and he seeks to gather us under his wings to show us his presence and to shower us with his presence and with his power and with his protection. So let me ask that question again. How many of you are henpicked? Oh, come on. How many of you are henpicked? You bet. Now, there's two primary critters that Jesus talks about today. One is the hen, correct? What's the other? The fox. Now, Jesus is the hen. So who's the fox? Herod. Herod is the fox. Herod, Jesus likens to a fox. Now, if you were a betting person, who would you put your money on between a fight between a hen and a fox? Hmm? Who would you put your money on? Well, the fox, of course, is going to gobble that hen right up. And if we're honest, it probably wouldn't seem much like a fair fight of fox versus a hen. Oh, but let me tell you, this is no ordinary hen. Oh, today's text starts out with this surprising statement in the very first verse. Some Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, "Leave this place, get out of town because Herod wants to kill you." You see, this is surprising because we often have this picture of the Pharisees as being the bad guys. But, you know, not all the Pharisees were opposed to Jesus. Oh, some of them were very friendly and even supportive of Jesus. And here, some Pharisees bring a warning that Herod is out to get him. And I want you to understand this. Herod is not someone that you want to mess with. You might remember that John the Baptist got into a bit of hot water with Herod and wound up with his head literally on a platter. And now Herod was hearing about Jesus, who reminded him of John. Oh, if you were told that the most powerful person in your part of the world wanted you dead, how would you react? Because you see, this is just what Jesus is experiencing. But you see, Jesus doesn't flinch. Jesus says, go and tell that fox that I've got bigger concerns than his latest temper tantrum. I've got work to do. Look, I'm casting out demons, I'm healing people, and then I'm going to Jerusalem. Oh, I might get killed, but if I do, it's going to be in Jerusalem, the city that kills its prophets. And which, by the way, Jerusalem is out of the jurisdiction of Herod. So Jesus likens himself to likens Herod to a fox. And church, that was no compliment. In fact, it wasn't until about the 20th century in our culture that being called a fox wasn't such an awful thing. In the 1960s, Jimi Hendrix sang, you know, Foxy Lady. And I know just what my buddies meant in high school way back in the day whenever they said something like, she was such a fox. You know? Yeah. But when Jesus called Herod a fox, he was talking about being this sly, cunning, and destructive animal. Herod had unjustly imprisoned people. He taxed his population to death for its own gain, and he even killed anyone. He killed anyone that he thought would in any way oppose him, which included his family as well. Herod was bent on destruction. That's how people knew him, and that is why they feared him. But you see, Jesus is filled with all of this compassion, and his purpose is loving protection, as we see that difference between these two figures. And we see here that as Jesus looks out over Jerusalem, Jesus knows that Jerusalem has killed the prophets. He knows what awaits him here, and he has this deep and tender love for the city and for all of its people. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I've desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Have you ever seen hens trying to gather their brood? Have you ever seen that? Yeah, I bet you have. I bet you have. We see it all the time in all kinds of different ways. The vehicles, they line up there in front of the school. It's, what, 2:30, 3 o'clock, and the school bell rings, and the children emerge, and instead of going to those waiting vehicles, they kind of just kind of wander around, you know. Some of them, you know, might head toward the playground, and some are talking with each other, just kind of wonders, you know. And chickens, they can be... Our little chicks can be kind of hard to gather in, or maybe when they're a little bit older, these chicks go to the mall with their parents, but they really don't want to be seen with their parents. The only thing that these teenage chicks really want to see is the green, and these chicks don't want to be gathered under the hen's protective wings. For sure, right? Oh, chicks can be difficult to gather in. And sometimes they just refuse to come in. They just refuse to come to you. They just sometimes turn away. And it just pains our soul when that happens. It pains our soul when when love is not received, not returned. You know, most of us probably have at least some experience with love not being returned, being rejected. Might have been a schoolboy or a schoolgirl crush. It might be a devastating breakup or a divorce. It may be love that reaches out to a child who has strayed and just will not seem to come home. We probably all had various experiences of rejection. We didn't get the job. Our proposal was rejected. We're told in more or less ways that we just didn't make the grade. We all know something of what it is to have our love or to have our commitment come back empty. And you see here, Jesus pours out his heart, literally giving his own self and to those who would not have him, who will not have him. How I would have gathered you under my wings, but you were not willing. And one can sense Jesus' lament in that. Jesus describes himself as all things a hen. Not the kind of image that most of us would choose. In fact, if we wanted to be identified with an animal, I don't know about you, I think there are probably better critters like lions, you know, or maybe a big bear or a graceful deer or something. Or if we had to compare ourselves to a bird, there would certainly be better choices, I think, than a chicken. You know, a beautiful swan or a powerful eagle, a wise owl, that would be a good one. Even a colorful peacock would be better than a chicken, don't you think? Jesus as a chicken? That just doesn't seem to stir my soul. How about you? You know? Come on, chicken Jesus. You know, man. But you see, we need to understand the image that Jesus uses. Oh, a mother hen gathering her brood out of love, out of care. A mother hen who's only concern is the safety. Her only concern is her chicks. That's the image. You ever seen a chicken hawk go after its prey? Yeah. When I was a kid, we lived out in the country on a little farm, and we had some chickens, and of course we had some chicks. And typically, where you find chickens and chicks, you'll also find chicken hawks. All right? Now chicken hawks are really kind of cool. They fly around, they eat mice and other small critters, and they're not really very big. But what the hen does when chicken hawks are around is just really, really amazing to watch. The old mother hen, she's usually aware of the presence of a hawk in time to gather her chicks under her wing. And with a furious fuss, she squawks until her brood is safe there by her side. And she fluffs out her wings and she protects them with her own body. And the chicken hawk, he'll dive out and that old hen will just kind of turn her body towards him and she'll just kind of cock a wary eye without moving from her children, her chicks. And the predator comes in again for the kill, and the mother chicken, she'll just spread her wings even that much wider. And a third time, he dives to be thwarted by the determination of the self-sacrifice of the mother hen. You see, she is often too big to be the target, and the chicks are too safe to be seized, so that chicken hawk will eventually fly away. Chickens. Foghorn and Henry. There's a chicken hawk right there. Chickens may not be the most glamorous critters, but they do care for their young. And they will sacrifice themselves so the young can live. Ah, hear this, church. When the Herods of Jesus' day came swooping in on Jesus and his brood, Jesus put himself between them and his chicks. And he hunkered down like a mother hen. And he went to that cross. He took that cross. And he died. So you and I might live. A fox against a hen doesn't seem like a fair fight. But this turned out to be the one for the ages. For you see, God bet the farm on the hen. We'll see in just a couple weeks. It first appears that the foxes have won. Feathers were everywhere. The chicks are all scattered. The mother hen dies. But that wasn't the end of it. The hen came back to the chicks. That hen is resurrected back to the chicks, covered with teeth marks, and proven that the power of the fox could not kill her love for them. So there you have it. Jesus the chicken, the mother hen who offers herself for the life of the chicks. In a mother hen, we have this image that we might not have been expecting. One of courage, one of self-sacrifice, an image of unshakable care for her brood. It's a wonderful picture of God's love for us. Think about it. Jesus, the hen, picked us over death. And aren't you glad that you're hen-picked? Aren't you glad? What a wonderful and comforting image of God gathering us under His wings, loving us whatever the price. It's a beautiful picture. But you know, we simply can't leave this image here on the pages of our Bibles. You see, the call to follow Christ is not only a call to be comforted and cared for, but we're called to be as Christ. The church is called to be Christ's body here on this earth, and we are called to grow from chicks. To what? If you're a chick, you're called to grow into a chicken. We are called, you see, to become hens. Like Jesus. We too are to give of ourselves for those who are vulnerable, those who are hurting, those who are lost. We're to stand up to the foxes of our world, not running from them and not becoming like that fox ourselves, but fighting hatred with compassionate love. This is what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. This is what it is to be a chicken, a hen that Jesus likens himself to. For you see, all the world might be betting on the foxes, but God is going with us hens. Amen? Yeah. This time, let's share together in Holy Communion. Here in our church, communion is open to all people of the world. And so I want to invite you this morning, if you are a guest or you're not regularly attend here at Selma Christ, communion is for you, it is for all, because this is not something that belongs to us, it belongs to the Lord. And it's His grace offered to us. Those who will be assisting me, if you would please come to the front. It was the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, "This is my body which is broken for you." Following the supper, Jesus took the cup and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples saying, "Take and drink, for this is the blood of the new covenant which is poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you take and you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me until my coming." This is the blood of Christ, poured out for you, poured out for all. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your grace, for this time together to share in your goodness and your love, to meet you, Father, around this table, to share in your grace and your comfort and your love and your healing touch, to come together knowing that we are sinners and there are times that we fail and we fail miserably. And yet, Lord, you pick us up and you love us and you show us your grace and your mercy even that much more. And so, God, we thank you for that. We would ask now that you would just pour your presence out upon us and upon this bread and upon this cup. Make this the body and the blood of Jesus, and we the redeemed people of your Son. Lord, just enter into these gifts and enter into us and fill us to overflowing with the same love and the same grace, the same concern that you have for us, that we might have for others. For this we give you praise. And this we give you thanks, Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now go forth in the strength and the power and the grace of the God who loves you and who loves all. And may you experience his peace. Amen.
Amen.